Many people think penance means sacrifices, fasting, or giving things up. But today's reflection explains that the real spirit of penance goes much deeper, and it may challenge you personally. Stay tuned.
Ave mundi spes Maria.
Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're joining us for the first time or returning, we're glad you're here. Today's reflection may inspire you in ways you did not expect. Before we continue, we want to express our heartfelt gratitude to our protected children of Padre Pio. Your faithful support allows this apostolate to continue reaching souls through prayer, stories of grace, and the spiritual legacy of Padre Pio. Many viewers quietly discover consolation and renewed faith through these videos because of your generosity and prayers. Thank you for helping this mission continue. Today, the Church celebrates the Feast of Saint Mary Magdalene. As many of you already know, she was one of the most devoted followers of our Lord and is honored as a great saint of repentance, love, and fidelity. The Gospel tells us that Christ cast 7 demons out of her, after which she followed him faithfully. She stood at the foot of the cross during his passion and was among the first to witness his resurrection. Because she was the first to announce the risen Christ to the apostles, she is sometimes referred to as the apostle to the apostles. Tradition also associates her with the repentant woman who wept at Christ's feet and wiped them with her own hair. In this way, she became one of the most powerful symbols of conversion and penance. Her life reminds us no sinner is beyond God's mercy, and that true repentance can lead to great holiness. So in light of her feast day today, I would like to share with you a reflection from Professor Plinio Correa de Oliveira on what he calls the spirit of penance. Let's dive in. Saint Mary Magdalene suggests to me precisely the theme of penance, but not in the sense of depriving oneself of things and practicing sacrifices. Rather, I want to consider what constitutes the very substance of the spirit of penance. Some priest friends have told me that one of the most difficult things today is getting people, when they approach the sacrament of penance, to truly accuse themselves of their sins. Often, when they confess, they arrive already with a kind of defense prepared. They begin to explain, to justify, to shift responsibility onto others, onto circumstances, or even onto God Himself. Father, I sinned, but I did not have the strength. The temptation was too great. In the end, the confession becomes an effort to remove responsibility as much as possible. And yet, I have always been struck by that formula of the Confiteor. Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Striking one's breast, acknowledging personal responsibility for sin. What then is the spirit of penance? But before we get to that, I must admit that I find myself in what the professor just described. I too often justified my sins, explaining how the circumstances I found myself in were almost perfectly arranged for me to sin. I end up convincing myself that I had no choice but to sin, which would, of course, lessen the responsibility if that were actually the case, which more often than not, it probably isn't. But let's continue. The true spirit of penance consists in having a clear, firm, and honest gaze upon one's own conscience and in recognizing, without evasions, our own responsibility in the act we commit. Bearing in mind that God's grace never abandons anyone, we understand that from what we did, we had the grace not to do it. And yet, we freely chose otherwise. There may indeed be mitigating circumstances, but one reality remains. I could have refrained, and I did not. I could have avoided the sin, and I did not. Whether by action or omission, I am responsible for what I have done. And since I know that I am a human creature marked by original sin, carrying within me weakness, self-love, and vanity, I must remain vigilant. In fact, the person I must most distrust is myself. More than I would distrust the greatest criminal, I must be sober about my own soul, because I must render an account to God, first and foremost, of myself. When we have the misfortune of falling into sin, we should look first at our own fault, not at the circumstances that may have contributed. We must seek the root of sin within our own conscience and present ourselves before the tribunal of penance with simplicity and truth. I have sinned through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. The professor continues, if I truly desire holiness, if I want to leave lukewarmness behind, then I must have sorrow, real sorrow for my sins. A serious soul is one capable of truly repenting what it has done, even to the point of weeping. And in a certain sense, the more one grows in holiness, the more one sees the weight of one's past sins. This was the case with Saint Mary Magdalene. After having followed our Lord, after having lived in his presence, she still wept over her past sins. The greater the holiness, the deeper the sorrow for having offended God. So it was also with Saint Peter. After denying our Lord 3 times, tradition tells us that he wept for the rest of his life, and that there were furrows on his face that tears had carved because he often wept anew. We must not think that one confession makes everything disappear as if it were nothing. Sin leaves a trace, and it is fitting that we maintain a spirit of penance towards it. God is merciful, but one of the greatest effects of his mercy is precisely that he grants us the repentance we often fail to have on our own. Think about that for a moment. God's mercy does not simply erase the past. His mercy gives us the very repentance we lack. And if you don't have it, I think you should pray for it. The professor then offers a practical test, something to take with you today. We should repent with confidence and peace, but also with seriousness. And what we should ask of Saint Mary Magdalene is precisely this, a serious spirit before our sins, past and present, and grace for the future, without anxiety, but with firmness and clarity. And to know whether we possess this spirit, Scripture gives us a simple test. Correct a just man, and he will love you. Correct the impenitent man, and he will become entirely angry. So let us examine ourselves. How do we react when corrected? How do we feel when we hear a reflection like this? Do we receive it with gratitude, or do we feel a certain interior discomfort? Let us ask Our Lady and Saint Mary Magdalene to free us from lukewarmness. When we learn to love correction, we can be confident that a true spirit of penance is taking root within us. And with that, the reflection concludes. Perhaps that is the great lesson Saint Mary Magdalene leaves us today. Not that we should become discouraged by our sins, but that God's mercy remains greater than them. The saints became saints not because they never fell, but because they continually returned to God. Wishing you a blessed feast day of Saint Mary Magdalene.